How many of you work in any way connected with marketing? Come on, there's more of you than that. Yeah, you're ashamed of that. No. Well, the Bible begins with a marketing strategy. You may have never thought of it that way, but I want you to see that today. And to do that, go to the second chapter of Genesis. Because God needs to sell Adam on this other person who's going to show up, named Eve. But it really is genius how God goes all about this. So I want to read it, but I want you to listen for God's marketing strategy, okay? And then we're going to come back. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Okay, God identified the need. Okay, there's a need for this product. But you obviously have to let people understand their need. They may not see it. Next paragraph. Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. I think God pointed out to Adam, "Hey, buddy, do you now realize you're alone? You have a need?" Well, then God produced the solution. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. So here's the sales pitch. The solution to Adam's need, Eve. And he brings her to Adam. And the man said, "This is it. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." And the sale was made. If you want to think about it, this is sort of how it went. Not good for man to be alone, the need. No Adam, no complementary companion was found. That suitable helper, it literally means complementary companion. So God made a woman and brought her to the man, and the man said, I have to thank for that last two lines. That's not Jim's paraphrase. That's Toyozo Nakarai's Hebrew class. He was a foremost scholar in Old Testament. I got to study under him. And we came to this passage and he said, our English does not do the Hebrew justice. That little phrase that we interpret, this is it, that's not what Adam said. When Adam saw Eve the first time, he said, wow, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. All those animals, all those birds, this one is the one. Wow. And that wonder, that excitement that Adam felt when he first saw Eve, that's the aspect I want us to talk about today. The fun in marriage. The excitement that God intended, God designed us to find in marriage. One of the myths in what I entitled this sermon is the fun goes away. And that's one of the myths that too many people believe today in marriage. You know, after a while, you know, marriages are fun in the beginning, but it just goes away. We all sort of start where Adam and Eve did. We're excited that we meet that person, we choose that person. The engagement is given and received and accepted, and the marriage comes, and we're newly married, and there's just a lot of excitement, and it's fun. We can't wait to see them. We can't wait to have time with them. We just look forward to our next time together. And that's how we walk into it. The problem is, it somehow seems that too often that excitement sort of leaks away, doesn't it? The fun goes out of the marriage. What's the phrase we've coined? The honeymoon is over. Well, there is some truth to that in the sense of we must all adjust to the reality of marriage. And we have our ideal, and then we face what is real. And it goes on year after year. And the real isn't 100% good, and it's not 100% easy. And there are challenges and bumps and work, and all of that comes up. And it's reality more than fairy tale. But in that reality, the danger is that we start to give up on that fun in marriage, and we just assume it's got to go away. And that's really what I want to challenge us today, that the fun doesn't have to go away in marriage. We can keep that excitement. In fact, like a lot of things in life, some things get better and better. Have you noticed some leftovers get better and better? Chili just gets better and better. Now, obviously, there's some leftovers, not so much. But there's a lot of things that get better and better. We develop skills in a sport or a craft, and it gets better and better. I want you to see today that marriage fits in that category, or it can. There are choices we can make. There are things we can do. There are attitudes that we can take in that actually allow marriage to not lose its fun, but actually to get better and better. But that's a choice we have to make, and it's something that we have to work at. Realizing that there is that choice, there is that option, if we can choose to invest in that marriage and do those things which help the fun continue, not just continue, but grow. And I would add this challenge. I don't think fun in marriage is optional. And the reason I say that is my concern is that all too often it's the fun going away that can be the prelude to even bigger problems. And so that a way to avoid those bigger problems in the marriage sometimes is just to invest in fun. And to make sure we're still having and doing things so we have fun together. So how do we do that? How do we make sure that we keep the fun in our marriage? I would like to talk about a few things today. And the first place I'd like to begin in that how-to category is actually a reference back to our first myth that we looked at. And that myth was that anyone can do marriage, and the reality is we need help in marriage. But it is a challenge. It's not easy. It's not automatic. And we talked about the reality that we need to involve that third person in our marriages, and that's God. And asking God for His help as we love Him the most, with all our heart, mind, and soul, that He does change our lives. And we become different people, and one of the aspects of that change is we become better spouses. That God helps us learn to love our neighbor as ourself, and that neighbor, the closest neighbor, is our spouse. And that God helps us be different people, seeing our spouses differently, and loving them in more complete and mature ways. You see, that's part of how we build fun into our marriage. We won't have fun in our marriages if the focus is all about me. And I think that's a lesson that we need to hear today because our culture constantly feeds us that it should be all about me. What can I get out of my marriage? What's in it for me? And the more that me becomes the focus in the marriage, that is actually how we will lose the fun in marriage. And that it is actually as we are loving that other, that one beside us, and that we're willing to give up some of the meanness for the you-ness. And how can we help that person? How can we love that person? That's actually where the fun grows in marriage. Ephesians 5 is the largest passage where Paul talks about marriage. In all of his letters, probably 70, 80% of our New Testament, written by Paul, This is the longest passage where he talks about marriage. And he lays out this same concept. It's not about me. And I want to just pick out three phrases that Paul uses in that long passage. He begins in verse 21, where he says, you need to submit to each other. If you've been around here, you've heard me preach on that passage. And what Paul literally says there, the meaning of the literal Greek words he uses, you need to stand under each other. You need to hold each other up. You need to be there for each other. And then he goes on to say, wives, this is what that's going to look like. Stand under your husband. And then after that paragraph, he goes to the husbands. And he says, husbands, you need to love your wife. Stand under her. And that's what it's going to look like for husbands to do that for wives, as wives do that for husbands. But verse 21 says, we're both doing it for each other. You see, Paul's challenge is, it's not about me. It's about caring for that person who I'm married to. If you want a fun marriage, care for your spouse. Not just in words or promises. Do it by your actions. By those things you do, those things you say, that going out of your way to help them, bless them, what you know they will enjoy in this day, the more your focus moves to them, as their focus moves to you, the more the fun grows in the marriage. It is that serving each other. And of course, Jesus says you lose your life by serving that other. That's when you actually find your life. That passage works in marriage as well. The second thing we do, it's not just about caring. Fun is also fun. How do you have fun in your marriage? Have fun. I mean, that seems so simple and so obvious. But sometimes we get busy doing everything else. The work, both works, everything else, the home, the cars, the you name it, what we fill our lives with. And it's so easy to neglect having fun. Making time to have fun. If you've got little kids at home, making time to have a date without the kids. Having fun together. Now, I can't sit here and tell you what that looks like because you have to decide what it looks like for you. It won't look the same for somebody else. Thursday night, Peggy and I had fun together. We drove to Cambridge and we went to Menards. And we went to the Green Barn Garden Center and got our first seeds. That's a tip for you guys, okay? But after 40-some years, for us that was fun. And we joked about it. We must be weird because we had fun tonight. I'm a big spender, I want to tell you that. But you see, what's your answer? And it won't be Menards in the Green Barn Garden Center. Shouldn't be. What should it be? What do you do to have fun together? What do you both enjoy? Make time for that. Find those things. What did you have fun together when you were dating? Maybe you need to return to that. Maybe you need to find new things to have fun together. I think it's great when people can go off with their friends and have fun alone. But you need to make sure you find things that you love to do together and you have fun together. Because nothing else can substitute for that. Maybe you need to help each other make some free time so you can have fun together. Maybe you need to make it a higher priority. Because it won't just automatically happen, not in our world. I'll guarantee you that. If you don't make it a priority, write it in your calendar. That's the wonderful thing about our culture. you've never heard this tip, it's worth the cost of your ticket today. Okay? Write it in your calendar. Date. Whatever it's going to be, write it down there. Somebody calls you or somebody's talking at work and says, oh, can you do this? Oh, sorry, I'm busy. Okay. Nobody questions that. I mean, nobody would ever say, what are you doing? Well, most people wouldn't. There's a few bosses who might, but most wouldn't. Write that personal fun time in there too. Save that time. Make it a priority. Enjoy all of our differences. There is another aspect of fun in marriage, and that is the design that God has given us physically to enjoy each other. And it's not something dirty, although I'm not going to say those three letters because of the children who didn't go to Rock Solid. But God designed us that way. There is a whole book in the Bible that it glorifies that physical relationship. And God put it there. And I think sometimes, especially as Christians, we don't necessarily allow ourselves to realize that. Within the context of marriage, it is beautiful and it is a glue that joins two people together in special ways. It won't make the marriage, it glues the marriage together. Our culture's misunderstood that and put it upside down. But it is still a beautiful thing that God has given us. But fun is even bigger than fun. And that's one of the things that I want to say as we sort of tie this all together. If you go back to Genesis 1:31, as God has done with all of creation, and the final thing God creates is humans, male and female, and Adam and Eve married to each other. And God looks at that and says, for the first time in all 6 days of creation, for the first time, God says, this is very good. He never uses very earlier. I don't think it's by accident that he says that after he has looked at Adam and Eve together. And all of creation, he says, this is it. This is very good. And what are we told Adam and Eve are for each other? The word that's used there two times in Genesis 1 is that they are complementary companions. That's the literal meaning. They are to be complementary companions. They're not the same. By design, they are different to fill in each other. The jigsaw puzzle pieces that complete each other. They are companions to walk through life together. And they are to complement and help each other. That's God's stamp and design. And if that is true, and if we are experiencing that because we serve each other, and we love each other, and we celebrate our differences, what blossoms is that we start to have fun throughout life. And the truth is, even though we wouldn't call it fun, even as we face a tough time together, it's easier because we stand beside someone. And in some sense of, wow, look what we did together. That begins to blossom into a marriage where we wouldn't want to miss that other one beside us. Because of what life is different, because we're walking it together with this complementary companion. So that even the challenges become fun, in a sense. And the difficulties become fun, because now we can look back and say, look what we went through together, and look what happened. And God gives us all of that. And in a sense, that's how the fun can grow, not go away. As we walk through life, experiencing all of life, the good times and the challenges. But together, what do we say? It's been a fun ride. And that's what God wants us to have. That's what he designed us for when he said, ah, look at Adam and Eve together. This is going to be very good. That's what it can be. That's what God wants us to have.
Let's pray.
Father, as with all things in life, as with motherhood, so in marriage, it is beautiful and your design is so good. And yet at times there are things that break and things don't work and it's hard. But Father, that just shows us how much we need you. We need you to live as you want us to live and to find the joy and the fun that you've created for us to have. And we need your help when we get off the path and things break and we get lost and things don't work and there's pain. Father, we come to you. I bring every marriage in this room, every mother in this room to you, every woman in this room to you. Father, help us. Help us to seek you. Help us to listen to your plan and your design. And help us when we drive off the road or when the road is washed out. Be there for each person. And may we find our peace, our comfort, our hope, our joy in you. Thank you for always being there, always loving every one of us. In your Son's name, amen.